Go to Philippians chapter 3. It's in the New Testament, Philippians chapter 3. Got Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Acts, what's the next one? Romans, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, and Philippians. Chapter 3. So turn to your neighbor again and say, Philippians chapter 3. And turn to your other sister and say, I could use a little bit of encouragement this morning. My. When I talk about encouragement, nobody leaves the room. Oh, I don't need any encouragement today. I've got plenty. No, we need encouragement, don't we? But you know where we need it from? We need God to speak to us through His Word about getting down the road. Where do we need to be? And what is the goal in life? What is the goal in life? What do I need to be doing as a Christian? You may be a Christian. Hopefully you are. If you're not, today is the day to become a Christian. The goal of life, Apostle Paul, a true apostle of God, he's talking in Philippians chapter 3. Turn to your neighbor and say, thank you so much for not talking during the sermon. He says, finally, my brethren and sistren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things again is no trouble to me, and it's a safeguard for you. Beware of the dogs. Beware of those evil workers. Beware of those false circumcision folks. For we are the true circumcision who worship in the Spirit of God and the glory in Christ Jesus, and we put no confidence in the flesh. Although I myself might have confidence in the flesh, if anyone else has a mind to put confidence in the flesh, I got a lot more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the nation of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law a Pharisee, as to zeal a persecutor of the church, as to the righteousness which is in the law, I was found blameless. But whatever things were gained to me, those things I have counted as a loss for the sake of Christ. But more than that, I count all those things to be rubbish in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them but rubbish so that I may gain Christ and may be found in Christ, not having a righteousness of my own derived from keeping the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith, that I may know Him and the power of Christ's resurrection and the fellowship of Christ's sufferings, being made just like Him to my death, in order that I may attain to the resurrection of the dead. Not that I have already obtained it or have already become perfect, but I press on so that I may lay hold of that for which also I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. Brethren, sistren, I do not regret, or I do not regard myself of having laid hold of it yet. But one thing I do know, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on to the goal for which the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as are perfect, have the same attitude together. And if in anything you have a different attitude, God will reveal that to you later. Father, bless the reading and preaching of God's Word. Let it change our lives today. Let me speak it with gentleness, respect, with boldness, and with confidence in Your Spirit, Lord, that we may be changed people. Let someone get saved because of it too. We love You, we praise You, we thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, the Apostle Paul, he was a real religious person before he got saved. And he says, well, I'm a Hebrew of Hebrews. I'm a descendant of Abraham. And I keep most of the law. So therefore, I am somebody. You know religious people like that? They flesh it out, just like he said. I had confidence in the flesh. I had confidence in being a descendant of Abraham. That's real Jewish. And back then, if you were Jewish, you know, you were the chosen ones, or supposedly. But he was far away from God, and he had all the religion you could ask for, all the bloodline in his flesh. Some of you may know a lot about Jesus, grown up in church. Your daddy might be even a preacher, and you think you're going to heaven because of that reason. I ask people all the time, if you died today, where would you go? Oh, I'd go to heaven. Oh, really? Why? Well, my daddy was a preacher. What is that? Wrong answer. I want to go eat like a game show host. Wrong answer. I want to go ding. I want the right answer. Ding. So he's saying, hey, I had all that. I had everything. I was the man. I persecuted the church even, and I kept the law. But then God got a hold of him, didn't he? Somewhere along the line, God's got to get a hold of your heart. That place in the center of your soul, in the heart, where only God can get to, that nobody else knows about but you and God. Sometime along the line, you've got to have that experience that God penetrated your heart and made you aware that you have sinned against him, that if you died today, you'd go to hell, and that was not his will. He's provided a way for all men to be saved, and that's through Christ, because Christ kept the law that the Apostle Paul thought he kept. And what's interesting about the law, do not lie, do not steal, do not covet, do not commit adultery. Somebody said, well, I've been married to my wife. I haven't committed adultery. I've been faithful to her for a long, long time. I said, what about, you know, staring at pretty women and doing, you know, thinking of it in your mind? Oh, that's different. No, it's not. It's the same. Just like, well, have you murdered anyone? No. Are you kidding me? I haven't killed anybody. Have you lied? Have you hated in your mind somebody? Have you wished somebody to be dead? Have you angered somebody in your mind? Well, you're a murderer in God's eyes. And what's interesting, the Apostle Paul said in his pride and his self-righteousness before he became a Christian, he's saying, hey, I kept the law, but he couldn't keep the law, so they made some other laws around the law of God, do not lie, do not steal, do not covet, because they've all broken that law, some things that they could keep that were easy to keep in their flesh. So do not lie, can't keep it. Do not steal, can't keep it. That's the law of God. Do not covet, do not commit murder, all the law of God. So what they did, they fabricated some man-made laws that they could keep, like, oh, on Sunday, I'm not going to walk but less than 200 yards from my house on Sunday. Or I'm not going to carry anything that's over 1 pound on the Sabbath. You see what I'm saying? They can keep those laws. Those are easy to keep. But the law of conscience, do not lie, do not steal, nobody kept that commandment. Nobody can keep the commandments. And if you think you're going to heaven by being a good person, just stack up against the law of God. Do not lie. Have you ever lied? Well, yeah. How many times have you lied? Well, a couple hundred. How many times? Do you think you've lied over 100 times in your life? Raise your hand. Okay. Do I have 200 lies? Anybody 200 lies? Raise your hand. I got 200 lies right here. Anybody with 500 lives or more, raise your hand. We got 500 lives over here. Oh, we got 1,000 lives over here. Don't be too honest now. Well, when you tell one lie, you're a liar, and all liars will have their part in the lake of fire. You need to be saved. You need to be saved by grace through faith alone in Christ alone. The law just reveals that we need Christ that kept the law. The law is a mirror that says my face is dirty, but the law is that mirror that doesn't have any power to clean our face off. So if you think you're a good person and you're getting to heaven by being a good person, examine yourself through the law of God. That's what you'll be judged by on the day of judgment. And he says, and that he may be found in Christ, not having the righteousness of my own. He got it. He said, okay, yeah, all that stuff was just garbage. Rubbish. That my so-called righteousness of my own goodness, my own flesh was absolutely my garbage can of stuff. Stinky garbage. Your good works, being a good person, are better, more good than bad. It's just garbage when it comes to salvation. Everybody should be good anyway. But as far as salvation, the Apostle Paul, when God got a hold of his heart, God may be tugging at your heart too, convicting you of your sin, and you're just going like, well, I'll get around to it, or I'm better than the person down the street. So you start comparing yourself with other people, and you look like an angel. That's easy to do. But he came to a point in his life when the only thing that mattered was that I may know Christ. That's the goal. If you're a Christian, the goal should be to be like Christ. And you know, people run from that because he goes on to say, through the fellowship of his sufferings. Oop, time out, I don't want that. Oh, I want to be like Christ and everything, but I don't want to have to go through what he went through for me. I want to just do it when it's convenient for me. I want to ask Christ for stuff when I'm in need, like the Santa Claus Jesus or the vending machine Jesus. And then when I want, you know, go to him, I'll ask him one and, you know, just do my own thing. But I'm not going to suffer. And so when you're suffering through life, friends, don't get bitter about it. Know that the most godly people in the Bible have suffered first. You with me? You know, I go to, the Lord keeps me in check with this stuff. Because everything, when it goes just downhill for me, you know, things are going bad. You know, I have a life of my own, working, family, just, you know, things of life. Turn to your neighbor and say, life is that way. You can go to a hospital, you know, people that are sick, people that can't get out of bed on their own power. That's something that we all should thank God for every day, being able to put your feet on the ground and walk to where you got to go. It's the small things that we take for granted. So there's somebody that's got it worse off than you or me, for sure. But is our goal as a Christian to have more things, to be more convenient, or, as it says in verse 10, to know him? Well, wait a minute, I know Jesus. I've known Jesus for over a decade. You may have known him longer than that, maybe shorter than that, maybe you don't know him. Hopefully you'll know him by the end of the lesson, but the Apostle Paul, he had everything he thought in life, and his goal in life was to know him. And the fellowship of his suffering, being conformed, being made like Jesus, even to his death. I'll get back with you on that one. I mean, who wants to suffer in life? Don't pray for it, it'll come. But I want to be encouraged in the scriptures, because I'm down the road, I'm going to have a tough time somewhere. And some people just backslide from where they were because they come to Jesus for the wrong motive. They come to Jesus to get something from him because somebody promised that, oh, come to Jesus and man, you're going to have a hallelujah, glory to God, perfect life. He's going to give you health, wealth, and all the prosperity and you won't have any problems. Come to Jesus, just ask him into your heart. And they do it on those pretenses. And this is what happens. They come to Jesus for the wrong motive, not to get their sins forgiven, but to come for a better way of life. And this is what happens. When they don't get the better way of life, guess what happens? You don't see them anymore. Where's she at? I ain't seen her. She's gone. Back to where it was. Back to where it was. She didn't get what she wanted. Or she didn't get what she was promised by some preacher that didn't know the word. So she backslid. You know why people backslide? Because they never slid forward to start with. And I come to this passage of Scripture a lot. Chapter 3, Philippians, it's rich, 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 rich. And a lot of times I come back to it when somebody's come down the road, maybe an old friend, you may relate to this, and go like, you call yourself a Christian? No, I don't call myself a Christian. I am a Christian. Yeah, I hear you and all that. Yeah. But remember that time that we did that back in the day? Yeah, man, I remember. What you trying to say? Oh, you remember when you used to go where we used to go? Yeah, man, I remember. That's my past. You may have had some people try to bring up your past that you've been cleaned of by Christ and your faith in Him, and they want to bring back the past. You know what? We got past. And sometimes we suffer for what we did wrong in the past. God didn't say He was going to erase the consequences of your wrongdoing. He said He was going to forgive you of all iniquity through Christ. But you may still be suffering for bad decisions and sins, even though you were forgiven of it. So we may suffer some consequences for stuff we did, but we've been forgiven of. The people we used to see, the things we used to do, the places we used to go. But you know what? If somebody's coming up to you and bringing up the past that God has forgiven you of through His Son, Jesus Christ, tell them to back off. And then gather yourself and then say, hey, where are you going when you die? You know, you use that as a witness tool. But don't let anybody condemn you for what God has forgiven you of. And you know what? I can't erase the past in my life. I've been forgiven of it, but sometimes it just happens that I start thinking of it. And you know, I'm human just like you. We're going to feel bad about it sometimes because that's just the way we are. And He says, now that I have already obtained it, or... not that I've already obtained it. Apostle Paul, he said, I haven't gotten to where I need to go. I haven't become perfect. I will be perfect one day. Can you imagine, as a Christian, that you'll be perfect one day? Turn to your neighbor and say, one day. If you're a Christian, if you're born again Christian, you're going to be like Christ forever. You're going to be just like Him forever. Just meditate on that when you're having a bad day. And you know, if you're like me, I'm 53. I'm past middle age. I'm closer to Jesus than I was before. It won't be long. So make every day count, no matter where you are. No matter what somebody tries to bring up from your past. He had a past. He had a dark past. The Apostle Paul, God used him in a mighty way. He forgave him of all his sins, a persecutor of the church, a blasphemer. He cursed God. Anybody can be saved, no matter what you have done. I press on that I may lay hold of that for which also I was laid hold by Christ Jesus. Oh, glory to God, Christ. Brethren and sisters, I do not regard myself of having laid hold of it. I'm not there. I'm not where I need to be. But I got some good news. Turn to your neighbor and say, I got real good news. He knew, and God wants us to know, that I don't regard myself of having laid hold of it. I'm not there, Lord. I'm not there yet. But I can guarantee you this thought. I have a hard head. It takes a while for me to get the message. But one thing I do know for sure. I will forget what lies behind. Turn to your neighbor and say, forget the past.
Forget the past.
Some of y'all hanging on to it. If you're a Christian, that doesn't identify who you are now. Your heart's been circumcised. It's not about the flesh of a man being circumcised. It's about his heart.
Yes.
Remember the Lord when he came to you and circumcised your heart, cleaned you, circumcised you, made you whole, and made you righteous in the sight of God because of Christ. But one thing I do know, forgetting what lies behind, and I'm going to strain. In the Greek language, reaching toward what lies ahead means to strain. To just strain toward it. So when you're straining toward something, it's hard to look back at the same time. You with me? Straining toward that. Have you ever lost your keys behind the sofa or whatever you're reaching for them and you're going, it's just out of reach. And you keep straining. You keep straining for whatever it is you're reaching for. It's hard to concentrate on anything that's behind you. So the Lord wants us to what? Press on. To read His Word. To be thankful no matter where we are in our life. And to strain on those things that are ahead. God's got a good day for you. Even through the bad times of trials and tribulations. Turn to your neighbor and say, God is good even through the storms. Forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead. And he says, I press on toward the goal for the prize. The goal is this. You've got to have a goal. You've got to have a goal as a Christian. Your goal should be this. To have more? No. To have a perfect life? No. To be in a better place? No. Those are all good things, by the way. But your goal as a Christian is to be the same as the Apostle Paul. Hopefully we can get on the same page and the same heart. He says, but I do. I'm going to put those things behind me. I had a big, big, bad, dark past. I accept it. God has forgiven me of it. I'm going to move on. And some of y'all are just stuck. Just stuck somewhere in the middle. Or maybe you're stuck from behind. Maybe you're living in the past that God has forgiven you of, and it's keeping you from going forward. And he says, I press on to the goal. The goal is to be like Christ, Christ's likeness, to be like him. And the prize, oh my goodness. Don't you, turn to your neighbor and say, I like prizes. I don't know of anybody that doesn't. I like them. The prize is one day, and one day soon, you will be exactly like Christ, perfect in every way. Can you imagine being like Him, perfect, in a perfect kingdom? You'll be in your perfect mansion. Make sure you call me up for your perfect barbecue or whatever you have, you know, over. It's going to be a good time. It's going to be the best time. And that prize is just waiting for you, and it's not far off. So go ahead and strain toward those things which are ahead. Forget about that past that God has forgiven you of, and don't let anybody bring you down. And let us all have that good attitude about it. Let us, therefore, as many as are perfect, have this attitude. And if anything you have a different attitude, God's going to reveal it to you. Be patient with God. Read His Word. Ask Him what it means to you and where you are. Then just say, Lord, I'm so far away from it, but I want to be like Your Son, my Lord and Savior. And I'm going to strain toward those things which are ahead. You have some good things ahead, and I don't want to miss them. And I don't want to let anybody make me feel bad about my past, about bringing up stuff that I did, places I've gone, the things I've done. Oh my. Everybody has an oh my to that. The things that we just cannot speak. I am the least of the apostles and not fit to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. God forgives all those who repent and believe, and that's, you are what you are. You're a murderer? Yes. I'm a liar? Yes. I was a blasphemer? Yes. I was a covetous person? Yes. But God forgave me of all that, and it's time for me to look ahead. And His grace toward me did not prove vain. Aren't you glad? God's not wasting His time on you, and you're not wasting your time when you read His Word and you work out your salvation through fear and trembling. But I labored even more than all of them, yet not I, but by the grace of God with me. And all of God's children said,
Amen.
Father, thank You for the Word. I pray that those that know You already, we already know You, we're sheep, we've been born again, we've repented and believed on Your Son as our Lord. I pray that the Word will draw us closer to You, that it will be helpful for us to get on down the road and press on and forget the past. And for us that are listening to the message, we said, no, I'm not a Christian, I'm not born again, I haven't repented and believed on the Lord as my Savior. I pray that through the message, not my personality, that someone will be saved because of the Word. So, Father, let it be the way it is. We're so grateful and thankful for all the blessings that You bestow upon us through Christ, Christ our Lord, Your Son. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.